I have my own announcer when I make my entrance. It's kind of cool. Anyway, when I am talking to kind of the not-so-churchy type of people, sometimes I get asked if I'm a priest. And usually I'll smile and say I'm actually a pastor, which is a little bit different than a priest. But I would ask you this morning, what's the difference? What's that? I can get married, yes, that's true, and I have taken full advantage of that, yes, just once. What else? What are the other differences between pastors and priests? And why do most Protestant churches have pastors as their spiritual leaders and not priests?
Don't priests pretty much lay down the law, whereas
pastors are more of a thing? That's one way to, yeah, priests lay down the law. I don't know how many priests lay down the law, but I think there's more an authority, maybe more a sense of authority with priests. Okay. Yeah, I guess I couldn't say it any better than myself, so I'll just stop the conversation there. Priests tend to, a priest is a connecting point, a go-between. And the idea of a priest is that the priest goes between God and the people, and between the people and God, whereas pastors are different, and we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. Now, we didn't, of all the days that we've had recently, special holidays, we had All Saints Day and Halloween and Veterans Day and all these days, the one that kind of got pushed aside was Reformation Day. And Reformation Day is a day when we celebrate kind of some of our spiritual heritage, going back to Martin Luther and John Calvin and the Reformers. And the Reformers had three very important ideas that they brought, that they felt that the church at the time were kind of missing. One of those is that we are saved by faith, that the gospel is about what God has done for us, not what we can do to be saved. The second is the centrality of the Bible. They thought the church had kind of started getting into some teachings that were moving away from that. And the third is an idea that is called the priesthood of all believers. Can you say that with me? The priesthood of all believers. And according to the priesthood of all believers, the most accurate answer to the question, are you a priest, when that's posed to me, would be, yes, I am a priest, just like all other Christians, and I personally am also a pastor. The priesthood of all believers says that the people of God, all of the people of God, are priests. Now, I hope that this message, this idea that all Christians are priests, and we're going to talk more about what that means, has come out in most of my sermons since I've been here, and especially this fall as we've been talking about our vision statement and what our vision is, which is now our official vision statement, living the gospel life together as we glorify, grow, and glow. And I think the priesthood of all believers feeds every part of that vision statement. But I wanted to talk about it more explicitly today. I actually almost didn't preach this sermon today because I was thinking this week, man, I preach about this idea all the time, and you know, maybe I should just do something else. But then, luckily for all of you, I was reading in my personal devotional time in 2 Peter, and Peter writes to the churches that he's writing to. He says, "I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them." And Peter's saying that there are some things that are so important, I'm just going to keep repeating and reminding you over and over again. And so you're stuck with this message today. This morning, I just want to look at how priests play into the story of God from beginning to end. And then we're going to look at pastors and priests in a church that takes this idea that all God's people are priests seriously. If we go back to the beginning of the story and Adam and Eve, and we were talking about this in our confirmation group this morning, we go back to Adam and Eve, and God tells them, he makes them special, he makes them in his image, and he tells them to rule over the earth. Adam and Eve were the first priests. Adam and Eve were created to go between God and the world, to represent God to the world and the world to God. Unfortunately, as the story goes along, Adam and Eve kind of turn away from God, and when they lose their connection with God because they wanted to do things their own way, they can no longer be priests, because priests have to be connected to the two things that are connecting. They have to be connected to God and to the world. But instead of scrapping the whole priest plan, God continues on with it, and he calls in Genesis 12 Abraham and Abraham's family. And he says to them, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. Through you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. And so God says that now, instead of all humanity being the priests, I am choosing this family. It is this family, Abraham's family, who's going to have this special connection to me and who are supposed to then bless the world and represent me to the world. And Abraham's family becomes the priestly family. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger until they become what we know as the nation of Israel. And that's where we picked up in Exodus 19 this morning. God's people, God has delivered them out of Egypt. And they're about to go into this new promised land. And they're kind of recovering who they are as children of Abraham, as Abraham's family, as the people of God. And this is what God says to them. He says, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Israel has this special connection to God, this special kind of blessing and revelation that they enjoy from God. But no sooner does he say this than he then gives them a calling. He says, indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation, a priestly kingdom. There's an excerpt in your bulletin on page 5, I think, from a scholar named Douglas Stewart. And this is how he describes what it means for Israel to be a priestly kingdom. He says, priests stand between God and humans. You see that connection again. Priests stand between God and humans to help bring the humans closer to God and to help dispense God's truth, justice, favor, discipline, and holiness to humans. Israel was called to such a function. That's what it meant for them to be a priestly kingdom, to have this special connection with God and then minister that and dispense that and reveal that to the world so that the world could connect to that God. Then as the story moves along into the New Testament, we come upon Jesus. And Jesus is an interesting figure because when Jesus is baptized, for lots of reasons, but when Jesus is baptized, what he does is take on this priestly calling. When God says, this is my son, my beloved son, listen to him. Jesus becomes the priest that Israel and Abraham and Adam and Eve were always meant to be. Jesus, the New Testament, it calls him the great high priest. And Jesus is this very literal connection between God and humanity. As Christians, we say that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. We have divinity and humanity connecting in a very special way in the person of Jesus. And in that sense, that Jesus is human and divine, he is the connecting point. He is the one who connects humans and the world to God and God to humans and the world. And when Jesus offers himself up to God in his life and through his death, it is Jesus who, the New Testament says, brings us near to God, makes that connection. Jesus is the priest. But strikingly, the New Testament doesn't stop there. It doesn't just say, okay, Jesus is the priest, game over. It then goes on to the people of God, the people who follow Jesus. Christians, the New Testament says, become priests as they become the body of Christ. As we connect to Jesus, as we engage and are united with the life of Christ, we take on the function of Jesus as the priest, as the people, as the community, as the individuals who connect God to the world and the world to God. And so, in Peter's first letter, in 1 Peter, he takes these words from Exodus that we read, that you are a special, a treasured possession of God and a priestly kingdom, and he applies them to the church. He uses those exact words almost and says, this is what the church is. They are priests. And so, to kind of finish our little story this morning, we read in Ephesians 4. And Paul talks about, in verse 11, he talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and he doesn't mention priests. He says that God has given us all these other types of leaders. Why? In verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So this is exactly what Becky said before. Now, this is not an anti-Catholic sermon, incidentally. Okay, Catholics have priests, Episcopalians have priests, Israel had priests. But that doesn't lose the fact that all of the people were a priestly kingdom for Israel, and all of us are priests. Paul doesn't mention priests because he knows that all of us are in that function, connecting God to the world and the world to God. Okay. So that's the story. And I hope you see how priests are part of this story from beginning to end. So what does a church that takes this idea seriously look like? I think it means that we redefine, in some ways, our views of what it means to be a pastor, what it means to have a pastor, and what it means to be a Christian or to be a member of a church. And so I have these two images for you. I have kind of this is the priestly image right here, where you have the God, that's a sign for the Trinity, on top, and then you have the pastor in a priestly role, and then you have all of the people of the congregation, 100 people, and the pastor is supposed to have this special connection to God, and then is supposed to minister that to the people, and then represent the people in prayer to God. And so that's why, you know, it's this view of the pastor as the priest, kind of, where pastors always are the ones who pray at everything, right? Because they have this special connection to God. And so we have to have the pastor pray for us and care for us and care for every single person because they have this special connection. They are our connecting point to God. And I think even in Protestant churches where we don't have priests, we still often look at the pastor in a priestly role. They're the ones with the special connection. We need to go through them to get to God. And they need to provide all the things that God wants to provide for us. He's providing through the pastor to each one of us. Then we have this other image, which I think has the idea of the priesthood of all believers in it. And in this model, God is amidst the people. And that's what the New Testament says, that the Spirit of God dwells in all followers of Jesus, that the Spirit of God dwells amidst the community of God's people, and the pastor is in there. But it's all of us who are the priests, connecting God and all of his wisdom and truth and grace to all of the fragments of our society and people who don't know God's love and truth and wisdom and grace. That's the image of a priesthood of all believers, where the pastor is among the people, equipping the priests to be priests. And I think the best image I could come up with is of an actor-director. We have lots of movies where the director is also an actor in the movie. Clint Eastwood does this a lot, I think, and you know, we have others. That's kind of the role of the pastor. You see, as a director cannot act out the parts for all of the actors, right? He can only direct them and put them in the best place that they can be in to do their acting, to communicate the story. And then he joins them in that. He or she joins them in that task. That's the role of a pastor, kind of the actor-director, helping the priest be the priest, helping to shape a community where you all can use your priestly gifts to enter into our world and minister God's love and grace and truth to them. My job is to teach you knowledge and skills that on one hand help you connect to God. So my goal is not to just preach the Word of God to you, but to help you to engage in the Word and to study the Bible and to experience God through the Scriptures, to help you to pray so that you can connect to God on one hand, and to give you knowledge and skills so that you can connect to the world in a meaningful way. So things like our brown bag discipleship a couple weeks ago, where we talked about how do I share my faith. That's helping you on one hand have skills and knowledge to connect to God, and have skills and knowledge to connect to the world. That's the role of the pastor, to put you in the best position to be the priest that you have been called to be. All so that the world can connect to God. So you are the priests. You minister God's word and love to one another. You don't need the pastor to be there all the time whenever you're doing something spiritual. You do it at home when you open your scriptures and ask God to speak to you there. When you pray, you have a special connection to God if you have come to believe and follow Jesus. You have the opportunity to engage people in the world who don't know Christ with who Jesus is and introduce them to him and give them a taste of his love and his peace. So in sum, I am the pastor. We are all priests. My job is to do everything I can to help the priests be the priests. So I could give 1,000 eloquent sermons, you know, speaking God's word, and I could sit at 1,000 hospital beds and pray for people, and I could conduct 1,000 funerals and weddings and baptisms, and these are all things I do and will do. But if members, if you are not engaging with God, if you are not becoming more like Christ, if you are not drawing others into the circle of God's love, then I have failed in my primary calling as a pastor. You are all priests, and I'm the pastor. This is at the heart of the gospel. This is at the heart of the good news. Because Jesus has offered himself to God in life and in death, God has wiped away our sins. There is nothing holding us back. There is nothing holding every one of us back from experiencing God personally and engaging with God's love and grace and knowing and following God. There is nothing separating us from him. And there is nothing separating us from real fruitful mission in the world, from really, truly connecting people and helping them to experience God's love. Do not outsource these opportunities to the professionals. You know, they say politics is too important to just let the politicians take care of it. So is this mission. It is too important for you to outsource your access to God and your access to the world to the professionals. To enjoy the special place of being God's treasured possession, you must receive God's calling to be the priests to the world. So during this Thanksgiving week, I want to challenge you with one thing. I want to challenge you to be a priest to someone in your life. Someone who maybe doesn't go to church, maybe doesn't is struggling, doesn't know what they believe about God or Jesus or whatever. Pick one person in your life, and I want you to ask yourself. Well, no, I don't want you to ask yourself. I want you to ask God. I want you to pray for them. And I want you to ask God, how can I minister? How can I connect them with your blessings this week? So as you're giving thanks for all the blessings God has given you, pick one person in your life and ask, how can I be a priest? How can I channel God's blessing to them? How can I reveal God's love and truth and grace to them? And then do it. And then do it this week. Maybe write them a card or pray for them personally with your presence or serve them in some way or speak some word of encouragement to them or share the good news of Jesus with them gently and respectfully. That's my challenge to you this week, to be the priest that you were called to be, connecting with God and connecting with the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this great calling, that we can be your treasured possession and know that you love us that deeply, and that we can go into the world and minister and channel your blessings and share your good news and help others to experience your grace. And I pray, Lord, that you would show us one person this week, at least, that you have called us to be a priest to, and help us to hold on to that calling and bless the world for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.